This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Steve Inskeep is home for the holidays. I'm Renee Montaigne. And on this Christmas Day, we consider the end of a decade that's being called the aughts. In the next few minutes, we look back at how the past 10 years changed music and culture. One of the biggest sources of delight and concern for musicians and fans has been the internet. It's changed how people get their music, and websites have emerged as important arbiters of musical taste. Joel Rose reports that one year in particular, 2004, was a watershed for the music blog.
Hardly anyone in the U.S. had heard of Arcade Fire in the fall of 2004 when the band released its full-length debut, Funeral. By then, the Montreal band was already familiar to readers of a music blog called Said the Gramophone. Shawn Michaels had been writing about music online and posting MP3s of his favorite songs for about a year.
We joke about what happens when the album comes out, then when it did come out, and things began to accelerate sort of even beyond anything we had imagined. What, David Bowie was at their concert? You know, Bruce Springsteen's singing with them? What's going on? It was just sort of inconceivable, this youthful imaginings manifest.
Funeral went on to sell nearly 500,000 copies. Arcade Fire was one of the first bands to show that buzz on a handful of music blogs and websites could lead to actual mainstream success. Record labels took note.
We get far more attention from all corners of the music world now.
Scott Plagenhoff is the editor-in-chief at PitchforkMedia.com. The site was one of the first to run a rave review of the Arcade Fire album. But back then, Plagenhoff says Pitchfork was having a hard time getting major labels to take the site seriously.
They were very suspicious. You know, trying to get someone on the phone to get a hip-hop record or a major label rock record at the time was extremely difficult, where now it's major labels are a lot more cooperative.
The music industry has even come to accept MP3 blogs, where fans post their favorite songs for other people to hear and, yes, download for free. That's a practice the industry spent years and millions of dollars trying to fight. But Sonal Gandhi at Forrester Research says many labels are now willing to tolerate MP3 bloggers as long as they're helping to promote new product.
If it's an artist that few people know about, and blogs might actually build a hype around it. It's sort of cost of doing business.
For many labels, it's become standard operating procedure to put out one MP3 from each album that bloggers can share freely, says Shawn Michaels at Said the Gramophone.
You never hear nowadays of labels trying to shut down blogs unless they're just posting full album zipped files or something like that. You know, the labels are pals.
Of course, buzz on the blogs doesn't always translate into success. Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah is one example of a band that has so far failed to deliver on its early hype. Shawn Michaels says now there's something of a backlash against so-called blog bands.
People will even use the term blog bands to sort of smear bands that pick up early hype and then don't live up to their reputation. But I think that for the formula of internet promotion equals longevity to work, the bands really need to be great artists.
The conversation may have moved online, but Shawn Michaels says it's still the music itself that gets people excited or doesn't. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.
See a flashback of how music blogs looked a decade ago and hear some holiday mixes at nprmusic.org.